the Bay Area last night, a very exciting night, and I got to listen to it on the radio. Ken Korak did a great job last night, just a great job. Ray Fossey, too. I loved listening to their broadcast on the radio last night as the Atlanta Braves came within three outs of getting a no-hitter last night at the Coliseum. Kevin McAlpin joins us from 680 The Fan in Atlanta. And, Kev, I loved the game last night. Foltynewicz was terrific. You were there. Very exciting night for the Braves last night.
Yeah, Marty, it was. And, you know, we'd all thought that after about that sixth inning when he gave up a couple of walks, I think a lot of folks felt like this was going to happen for Mike Foltynewicz. You know, he went out there, had an eight-pitch seventh inning. He goes out into the eighth and strikes out a couple of guys. And of course, the Braves' bullpen was silent. So they were going to give him an opportunity to try to close that thing out. But unfortunately, solo homer in the bottom of the ninth ended his shot at history. Would have been the first time a Braves pitcher had thrown a no-hitter since Kent Merker in 1994. So it's been a while, and Braves fans will have to wait a little bit longer for a chance at history.
Well, it was one of those games. Kevin McAlpin, McAlpin with us from 680 The Fan in Atlanta. Kev was on with us when the Braves played the Giants. It was one of those games, as you watched each pitch that Foltynewicz threw, you saw the pitch count going up, and then you saw Brian Snitker in the dugout looking very concerned, and that is the modern game today. I'm not sure if he had enough gas to get through that whole ninth inning.
Well, you know, they were going to let him go about 135 to 140 pitches.
Really? Wow.
If it was necessary. Yeah. You know, the cooler weather at this point in the season, obviously the Braves have played in the heat and the humidity in the Southeast, so they're coming out here. It's a little refreshing. I mean, I love coming out here to the Bay Area. It's in the 60s. I get the chance to put a hoodie and a jacket on. We don't get to do that this time of year down in Atlanta. So I think that they were going to give him a chance to go further. You know, the fastball was still 93, 94, 95. In the late inning, so he still had some velocity left, but again, Olsen drove that pitch out of the ballpark, and it was time. You know, they gave him a chance. It didn't work out, but I think it was a great message that you know, Schmidt sent his young right hander. We're going to give you a chance, and again, it didn't work out, but really an impressive outing as a whole for Mike Foltynewicz last night.
Yeah, very exciting. Eight no hit innings, and he walked a couple in the sixth inning and got out of it, and then a very quick seventh inning, and then in trouble in the eighth inning, and. Then the Braves got two in the ninth, and Ken Korak mentioned this, and I don't know if you thought it had an effect or not, but the Braves against Doolittle put two runs on the board in the ninth inning, and Foltynewicz sat there for a while. And look, and you're right, it's cooler out there at night in the Bay Area, and maybe he cooled down a little bit. Then he had to come out in the ninth, because when he got out there, I thought, you know, maybe if that's when it becomes luck, you know, the ball is hit at somebody. I thought he was kind of, you know, he looked to me like he was gassed when he got out there in the ninth inning.
Well, and the thing it shows you, too, is that, you know, I don't think fans understand a lot of times just how hard it is to throw a no-hitter and how many times the last handful of years we've seen guys lose no-hitters in the ninth inning. When the Braves had it happen to them a couple of years ago down in Miami, Shelby Miller was one out away from a no-hitter, and Justin Bour hit a little six-hopper single up the middle and ended his chance at it. So I'd love to go back and try to crunch the numbers and see how many times guys have lost it in the ninth. And again, it just goes to show you how difficult a feat it really is to be able to close that thing out when you're 110, 120 pitches.
Yeah, you're right. They write books about this stuff, believe me, of the perfect games that were lost at eight and two-thirds innings. We had someone on a few weeks ago wrote a book about that. Kev, the Braves are playing better ball. We saw him out here. Matt Kemp, of course, had a big hit last night again for the Braves. But Washington, Roark, and I said this when they let him throw 150 pitches, I think in about five innings, is an exaggeration. But he's sort of hit the wall a little bit. Trey Turner is hurt. They still don't have a closer. The Braves are playing decent baseball. Is there any optimism around the ball club that maybe they could make a race out of this thing?
Well, you know, there is, and I think the big key for this is the fact that they've been playing really well since Freddie Freeman went down. You know, there's two ways that can go when you lose your best player. Your season can you know, take a nosedive, and you can, you know, go the woe-is-me route, or you can do what the Braves front office did and go out and acquire Matt Adams to try to hold the fort down until Freddie Freeman comes back. Now, when Freddie went down, the initial timeline was 8 to 10 weeks, and we were all in Atlanta talking about probably August 1st, when we were going to see Freddie Freeman. Well, That being said, Freddie begins a rehab assignment today with the AAA ball club. And, of course, some fans may not realize it out here. He's making the move over to third base, a position he played in high school, so Matt Adams' bat can remain in the lineup. That just goes to show you what type of a leader Freddie Freeman has become here over the last couple of years. But, you know, the Braves do wrap up the first half next weekend in Washington, and there's a chance we will see Freddie Freeman's bat back in the lineup 6 days from now on Friday night in D.C. right before the All-Star break, again, moving over to third base. So I've been really impressed with the job Matt Adams has done, getting a chance to play every day. It's a new opportunity. It's a sort of a reset, hit the reset button for Matt Adams. And he has really been a big key for the way this offense has really not really missed much of a beat since Freddie went down.
Well, what do you think? Newcomb and the rest of the pitching staff, Fultonavich and Garcia is getting whacked around pretty much. Can they get close to Washington? How do you feel personally? What's your gut reaction?
You know what? I think 500 is probably a more realistic goal for this team this year. I know a lot of fans are wondering, what do they do at the deadline? Are you buyers? Are you sellers? I don't expect them to do a whole lot one way or the other. I think Jaime Garcia is probably the most likely guy to be traded at the deadline. I think you could throw Jim Johnson's name in that conversation as well. But I think, you know, when you're looking at a team in the Braves that won 67 games 2 years ago, 68 games a year ago, if you can make that jump up to around a 500 club, and again, with your best player missing a month and a half, I think that's a really serious step in the right direction and a big building block for this organization. So I love Sean Newcomb. I think his future is extremely bright, young left-hander. As you said, Fulte continues to grow up right in front of us. Julio Teheran has been the ace of this staff the last few years, hasn't been the same Julio, but the Braves feel like he's still a legitimate frontline starter. So, you know, if they go out, maybe they go out and acquire a guy like a Sonny Gray. Maybe it's a Chris Archer to add to the mix. We'll see. Wow. They have such a depth of young prospects that they can add to this mix and almost use as currency. So we'll see what they decide to do. But I think 500 is probably a more realistic goal.
All right, very good. No, very good answer. Very good answer. Wow, Sonny Gray, Chris Archer, that would be interesting. And no more Bartolo Colon. I thought Sandy Alderson had the best line. He said, we'll take all the bobbleheads and just paint the different color, put them back in a Met uniform. But goodbye, Bartolo Colon. And I think people sort of, like, got attached to him, didn't they?
Well, they did. And, you know, look, he wasn't the same Bartolo he was the last few years. I mean, he won 15 games, had a 3.5 ERA last year. It just didn't work out for him this year. And at the end of the day, you cut your ties, you move on. But that being said, you know, one of the reasons the Braves brought in guys like Bartolo and R.A. Dickey and Jaime Garcia was to bridge the gap between this year and when some of these young starters would be ready, so they didn't have to rush them along like they've done the last couple of years. So while it may not have worked out in the long run for Bartolo, he still helped buy this team 3 more months of not having to rush a young guy up and throw him in the rotation when he may not be ready. So it won't surprise me at all if we see Bartolo back in a Mets uniform, and the Braves still have a couple of series against New York here towards the end of the season. So I'd be very curious to see what happened if he had to face the Braves here towards the end of the year.
Well, put him in there against R.A. Dickey and see what happens in that.
Yeah.
That'd be good. Hey, Kev, thanks for taking the time. Exciting night for you last night. And I know on what's your Twitter handle? Because you do a great job during the game. How do people follow you?
I'm just at Kevin McAlpin, McAlpin. I tried to come up with something witty and creative, but that's what I came up with. I'm not very original.
That's good enough. You do a great job during the game and keeping everyone up on what went on, and I thought it was very exciting last night. I'm glad I got to see and hear the last couple of innings. So I appreciate you being on and sharing that with everybody. Thanks, Kev.
You got it. Thanks, Marty.
All right, very good. Kevin McAlpin, 680 The Fan in Atlanta. More coming up.